It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Code talkers refer to Native Americans who used their indigenous languages as a means of secret communication during wartime. A bill passed in the legislature seeks to honor Native American veterans by designating a portion of Interstate 90 as the Ho-Chunk World War II Code Talkers Memorial Highway. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Kristen White Eagle is a representative in District 2 for the Ho-Chunk Nation. She lives in Baraboo. Kristen, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
So during World Wars I and II, Native American servicemen from more than 20 tribes used indigenous languages to send these coded messages to allies across the world. How did this group of people serve the country during wartime?
Well, they served them honorably, and per capita, our Native nations have served in great, huge numbers. So being a protector of land, of its people, is very important to the Ho-Chunk people and our warriors. And that does span across Indian country as well. And they're very proud of that service.
Do you know how many people served the country in this way as code talkers? What does the history say?
So that is something that we're not quite exactly sure on. Maybe the Department of Defense, you know, the United States government has more of that information, but we are still digging. And at this point right now, we know that we have 14 Ho-Chunk Nation tribal members that served as code talkers during World War II. And they have been designated as code talkers and recognized as such. However, you know, the work that it involved to find those code talkers, you know, has, I guess, a lot to do with research, coming across different codes, looking at, you know, military documents. And it takes a lot more research than just knowing who those individuals may have been. So right now, although there's 14, Kate, we think there could be upwards of in the 30s at this point.
During your testimony before lawmakers, you said that few code talkers are alive today. And we wonder if you could have a conversation with a code talker. What would you want to hear from them? What would you want to say to them?
Well, I'm very interested in how they kept the secret for so long and what challenges that had for them. Their families were never even aware that they had served this country as a code talker, which is quite interesting to know that, because our code talkers in the Ho-Chunk Nation, none of them are still here today. And their families were not even aware that they had served this country as a code talker. Now it has been brought to light, and I think it's really important to recognize that service.
They were swore to never reveal their role. What was the reason for that? Why did this have to remain a secret?
I think that's a good question, not only because I'm not sure if they were sworn to keep that a secret or if that is something that they did because of their own conviction and knowing how important their role was. But we do know that they did not share that their whole lives, because at any time, we believe, and I think this is a good assessment, they may have been brought back into wartime to conduct the same type of service in a later war. And they didn't want to expose themselves as a code talker at any point. So their whole lives, they kept this to themselves and didn't even allow their family members to know of that.
It wasn't until the Snyder Act of 1924 that Native Americans could legally vote in the U.S. And even then, you know, many states still prevented the voting. And yet you see Native Americans volunteering in a war effort just 15 years after that. What is the tension like between indigenous groups and the American government at this time?
I can't even imagine, Kate. You're right. You know, our code talkers served in World War I, without even being recognized as citizens yet of the United States. And I think this has a lot to do with what it comes down to for Native peoples across this whole country is that the land is important. Protecting that land and protecting the people is extremely important. And if there were outside invaders, you know, attempting to take that, I think they stood for their people, making sure that they were doing something that would look ahead to future generations to protect them and protect the land on which they felt were caretakers. And we still do today. We're stewards of this land, and we want to make sure that it is protected for future.
We're talking about legislation recognizing Indigenous code talkers who used their native languages to send coded messages during world wars. And we have Representative Kristen White Eagle with us of the Ho-Chunk Nation. Call in with a question. You can share your comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Kristen, during the public hearing of the bill, a descendant of the code talkers testified, and when their father had passed away, they found that the military service records and showed it to their tribal veteran services officer.
And she recognized the code, and so she made a copy of it. And that's how I found out that he was a code talker. And I, when she said that, it brought back all these stories that came to my mind that through the years that I went through.
When you heard this testimony, what came up for you?
This was hard to hear because this is one of our own elders and veterans of service. His name is Donald Greengrass. And, you know, he was very interested in learning his native language, and he knew his father was an eminent speaker, and that was his only language at the time. And he knew that this was the best way to learn his language and understand a lot of our culture and customs is through our language. It's very unique. And to not be brought into that world that his father knew of the beauty of the Ho-Chunk Nation's language was very confusing, I would think, for Donald. And to be told, you know, that you're not learning this language, don't speak of it, you know, brings a lot of heartache and trauma to our people, not just because of the boarding school effect or the genocide practices of the government, but also because just understanding who you are as a person, that's very important to you to have that connection to the language. So I think it was very tough for families that weren't, I guess, aware of why they were being kept from learning the language as a Ho-Chunk Nation person. And we feel that that's possibly maybe indicative of these veterans and their service to remain committed to protect that language so that it wouldn't be infiltrated by outsiders who were using it to cause harm or danger.
And from what I gather, Native service members had a really sophisticated skill set in encoded communication techniques and, you know, along with their Indigenous language abilities. Can you speak to or talk more about these abilities that their fellow soldiers just didn't have?
Well, you know, my understanding is, you know, these secret communications occurred right on the battlefield. So I think it was a highly tense and stressful situation, and they would work in pairs. And maybe they didn't even know each other, but they knew how important their role was to protecting this country. One code talker would translate messages from English to Ho-Chunk language over a portable radio operated by a fellow code talker who would translate it back to English from their own native language. And this doesn't just affect the Ho-Chunk people. We've had Native American soldiers from 33 different tribes from across this country, three of those tribes from Wisconsin that served as code talkers during specifically World War II.
We explore the contributions of Native American Code Talkers with Representative Kristen White Eagle of the Ho-Chunk Nation. Be part of the discussion. You can ask a question. You can share your perspective. The number is 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore efforts to honor Ho-Chunk Nation Code Talkers of World War II with a proposed highway designation in Wisconsin. The Smithsonian cites hundreds of Native American servicemen used indigenous languages to send secret messages that helped the Allies to victory. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Kristen White Eagle, who's a representative in District 2 for the Ho-Chunk Nation. Let's bring in Marcus in Milwaukee. Marcus, good morning.
Good morning. So two of my great uncles served in World War II. One of them was a lieutenant and had the opportunity to interact with some of the Code Talkers. Native Americans served this country with great distinction during World War II, as well as World War I and every other war since then, because they have the warrior spirit. With the code talking, they could actually communicate in real time without having to translate using something like an Enigma machine like the Germans had. And it was a code that was unbroken. And up until it was acknowledged that they actually had served, it was a code that the U.S. government wanted to keep secret.
Marcus, thank you for bringing that history. Kristen, what would you like to add there?
Well, exactly what Marcus said. You know, what resonated with me is when he mentioned warrior spirit. That is right in line with, I think, a good sentiment of what that means to a lot of our veterans, you know, throughout Indian country, is having that warrior spirit. And that's not just a fight. That means, you know, protecting the land, protecting the people, looking at, you know, the future. So I think Marcus is right on. And that was a good history to hear, too. I learned something from what Marcus said.
The legislation aims to recognize Ho-Chunk Code Talkers by designating I-90 in La Crosse County and part of Monroe County as the Ho-Chunk World War II Code Talkers Memorial Highway. What has the journey been like to get recognition for Code Talkers in Wisconsin?
Yes, this has been in the works for a couple years now, and it was initiated, I think, mainly from Sandy Winishek, who was the Ho-Chunk Nation Veteran Service Officer. And, you know, we kind of touched on Donald Greengrass's story a little bit here about how he found the DD-214 of his father's, and he gave that to Sandy Winishek as the tribal veteran service officer. She came across this code, and she spent a lot of time looking into that and started to find that, my goodness, this code means that this person was a code talker. And she ended up initially finding 7 that were coded that way through her research and had them recognized as code talkers. Following that was another 7, probably within the last decade, that were also added. So right now we have 14 that have been designated as Ho-Chunk code talkers. And through that, most recently after, you know, this pandemic, we decided that we really want to pursue recognition for these code talkers as we heard more stories, as we heard more from the families that didn't realize that their family member was a code talker, that this secret had been kept from all the families, of the stories of the importance of, you know, our veterans and how we hold them in such high honor. We thought it was very important to look at some type of further recognition. So I did have a lot of good conversations with our state legislators in the Senate and the Assembly, who were very welcoming and very supportive of moving forward and getting this proper recognition. So thinking back to each one of those meetings with them, I just really feel grateful for their support and for listening to our stories and for supporting this, you know, in the legislature, state legislature.
Is this recognition coming too late? You mentioned how Code Talkers have passed on. And what are your reflections on the timing?
Well, can't change anything so far. I think the timing is what it is. Mm-hmm. I think this is the right time to keep moving forward. And I think the recognition is timely and that this was the right time to do that. Unfortunately, you know, the families do not have their family member who was a co-talker with them anymore. However, this is very important, I think, for some of the reconciliation of that secrecy and knowing the importance of what their family member had done as a co-talker is still very important. So regardless of the time, I feel it's going to happen. I'm very positive that the governor will sign this bill into law, and I'm so appreciative of each state legislator that helped support this moving forward.
We're with Representative Kristen White Eagle of the Ho-Chunk Nation as we discuss Indigenous code talkers using Native languages to send coded messages during world wars and the recognition of them. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234. Eugene is here in Biola. Eugene, hi.
Good morning, Kate. In the 1970s, I was teaching on Rosebud Indian Reservation, South Dakota. And at that time, the older adults spoke the language fluently, spoke the Lakota language. And they taught it at the school, and they also taught it at Syndicalistic College. Well, I took a course in Lakota language, and the problem that I ran up against was Lakota turns around. Instead of saying green house, they say house green. Mm-hmm. Completely backwards. I got through the first semester of it, and that was basically about it. I can still count to about 20 in Lakota, but I can't find an individual number. I've got to count up to it. And Pine Ridge Indian Reservation still has a Lakota speaker on a radio station.
Eugene, thank you so much for sharing that. And from what I understand, Kristen, you work daily on becoming more fluent in Ho-Chunk.
Yes. You know, it's a constant daily act of trying to incorporate phrases or words over and over because we don't hear the language. Just as our caller was just stating that we are suffering from losing this language. And when we think of the preservation of our native languages and who we are as people, so many of our stories are specific to being able to share that in your native language and learning about your culture and who you are as people and what's important to you. So the preservation of that language and rejuvenization of that language is important. And it's important to me to encourage that. And I think this bill also does that by recognizing that how important, you know, the Ho-Chunk language was to that Allied victory back then. And that this language, you know, they didn't pass their language skills to their family. And this, you know, probably hindered a lot of those generations on passing that language on, even to my generation. So, you know, to bring about the importance of language and native language and preserving it is very important with this bill. And it is highly connected.
I want to bring up as well, as you sat down for testimony in the public hearing, you greeted everyone in Ho-Chunk. And that was a really moving moment that the first words out of your mouth were to greet people in the language. Can you talk about that moment?
Thank you, Kate. Yes. I didn't think about it until after I greeted everyone in Ho-Chunk. And as I started to share a little bit of my feelings with our legislators, it resonated with me that maybe that was the first time in that room that the Ho-Chunk language had been spoken, maybe not. Mm. However, to me, it was very important that I was sharing the language amongst this particular group of legislators to hear that we still have this language today. And we are working hard to revitalize that language and share that. And to me, it was very impactful to let them know that it was important to start off with what I was saying in the Ho-Chunk language, because I think this bill is very, very connected and integral to why we're doing what we're doing with this Code Talkers Memorial Highway.
In our final moments together, I want to acknowledge the State of the Tribes address and Chairman James Crawford of Forest County Potawatomi delivering that, and thinking about the Ho-Chunk Code Talkers and the services they provided. What do you hope people take away from this year's State of the Tribes address?
I hope that they take away that our tribes are a very thriving community as a whole throughout Indian Country and throughout this country, that we are working hard to maintain our community ties, and that as tribal nations, that it's very important to us to maintain not just our language and to recognize our veterans, but that we serve each other. And regardless if that means within your own tribal community or within the broader community or within the state that we're in or this country, we're here to help look forward to the future and bring things, you know, bring better communities to each one of us. And I hope that people can feel that from his address today.
Kristen White Eagle, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate. It was my pleasure.
Kristen White Eagle is a representative in District 2 for the Ho-Chunk Nation. She is serving her second four-year term and lives in Baraboo. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.